Hey guys, before we get started with the podcast, I want to give a quick shout out to one of our sponsors, a company that is very close to my heart, W&R Studios. They have recently launched a brand new website, cloudagentsuite.com. The Cloud Agent Suite includes the industry's most popular and award-winning product line, including Cloud CMA, Cloud Streams, Cloud MLX, and Cloud Attract. I'm sure the listeners of this podcast know better than anyone. Agents deserve better software. So check out cloudagentsuite.com and try all their products free for 30 days. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor of the Industry Relations Podcast, please drop me a line at gregrobertson@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and now on with the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Industry Relations with Rob and Greg. I am your co-host, Rob Hahn, the Notorious. With me, I mean, literally with me, sitting across the table, is the other co-host, Greg. Greg, how are you?
Hola, Rob.
Hola.
So we've moved locations from our previous podcast. We were in my suite here at the Scottsdale Plaza.
That's right.
We are now in the epicenter of Clarity Conference. So it's before lunch, so we might have a rush of people here.
That's right.
So we'll see some sound here. But this is really a very, very special episode because we've also included here Sunny Lake. Hello, Sunny.
Hi, how are you guys?
It's Sunny Lake, right?
Or it is Sunny Lake or Sunny Hahn or Sunny Lake Hahn or Sunny motherfucking Lake.
So what's your title right now?
My title, other than Wrangler of Rob Hahn, is the partner in charge of brokerage consulting for 7DS Associates.
Okay, so this is very good because this episode, I really want to talk about something that has to do with brokers.
Okay.
And this is this latest kerfuffle that...
That's a word for it.
Mr. Hahn here has been writing about, and I wrote about a little bit. I will be honest as heck, as I've been thinking about this over the weekend, and then on Monday I wrote a post called, which I think was the best blog title ever, was Did KW Just Say F You to Vendors, right?
Right.
I hadn't read your post yet on Sunday.
Which I don't blame you, because it was 3,500 words
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, and by the way, I read all of those words more than once.
And I was coming from the vendor perspective of like, imagine if I spent all this money flying people out, all the airfare, hotel, set up the booth, and then I'm out there ready to sell, and then the CEO of the company that I went out there just got on stage and took a giant crap on me.
Right.
And that's how I think I would have felt if I was at that location where Gary Keller basically goes up there and really just talks shit about a lot of vendors and a lot of his competitors too. And that's the perspective of the post that I was coming from. But then I got to go and read yours and I'm like, oh man, Rob is really just, I think your second post was even better.
Thank you.
On Inman, that I got republished on Inman, about just really going into the narrative, like why this was such a bad idea. But maybe you want to recap what your thoughts were.
Well,
and I think also too, no vendors are surprised that Gary Keller took that stance on stage, because he does that every year. He talks shit about the vendors and all of that, and he makes fun of them, and all of his people hate on Zillow very publicly. But then once he steps off stage, he's great with the vendors and he loves them and happy to have them, always welcomes them to the events. But
so this is just theater?
He went beyond just saying how bad the vendors were. So Rob can go more into that, but it wasn't just his normal antics of talking shit about vendors.
No, I mean, I didn't. But let me try this tack, right? Because, you know, fact is, I wrote two posts. The first one was based, you know, on the Inman report. And I didn't go to the event.
Right.
I don't think you went to the event.
No, I didn't see the videos until you kind of linked to them.
Yeah. So I didn't know, and I just had to go by what Inman said. And I'm saying, even based on that, even based on just reporting, I'm reading through the reporting, and I'm going, what the hell's going on? Like, and it wasn't like I was angry at KW. You know, I mean, as I said in my second, like, I have so much respect for Gary Keller. The guy's a titan of our industry, right?
Right.
And he's done some incredible things over his career. And, you know, like, Keller Williams as a company does and continues to do wonderful, wonderful things. Like Red Day, the way they stepped up for Houston, you know, after Harvey. I mean, they do wonderful things. So I'm like, I don't wish them ill. And I think a few years ago, I remember saying, look, I think Keller Williams is sort of the best real estate company out there, you know, from a culture standpoint, financials, all of it. So I'm reading through the description. I'm going, this just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You know, so my initial thing was just questions. Like, I don't get it. And then the hostility and the, it's not safe for you.
Right.
To put your data into these vendors. I'm going, whoa, wait, what? What?
I mean, naming names.
Yeah, naming names.
Just having a slide up there with like,
well, and he didn't even just shit on vendors, but like the entire industry, like the MLS and association have been mm-hmm. selling you out yeah. for years. Yeah. That's pretty
But that comes
language.
Later, right? So I didn't see any of that. You know, so I'm just like, my first post was really intended to be, I don't get it. Keller Williams, Gary Keller, I mean, he's a genius. Like, his net worth alone, I think, should have us respect. Like, look, whatever the guy is thinking or saying, we probably want to listen. It just didn't add up for me. So then the first wave of criticism, because let's face it, KW people are loyal. And yeah. they're like, and they weren't nice to me about it either, right? And they're like, you know, you weren't even at the event, and Inman's fake news and all this. I'm like, okay, maybe I missed something. One of my readers sent me links to the actual videos. So I, you know, edited my post, I put those up, and I immediately watched them all, like all five parts. And I think it was like,
I did the same, yeah.
hour and a half or something. Yeah. And then what I saw made me say, I have to write the second one, you know, because what I thought in the first one, it's so much worse. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Inman really sort of stripped out the passion, stripped out the tone, stripped out the overall, like the important part of this, and just did a very, you know, a little bit boring, you know, hey, here's a report about whatever, Gary Keller, introducing Kelly in Keller Clout. And it's like the Inman story is actually more about Kelly and Keller Clout. Like, that's yeah. not the story, yo. That is not the story. So that's why I ended up writing the second one. So let me put it this way. Rather than me trying to summarize it, why don't you tell me what you thought of it as a outside reader? Like, what did you take away from yeah, that?
We've been talking about this for a while. The amount of capital coming in this business is profound, to say the least, yeah. right? So to me, there's a little bit of a pendulum swing that happens all the time where brokerages hire techs to be working for their brokerage, and then they swing back and like, well, we're not really a tech company. We're going to develop with vendors, right? It seemed like an extreme thing of that, you know, and there was like even some loyal Keller Williams, like, I challenge you to find a disparaging quote in his whole presentation.
Right, right.
Well, you know, motherfucker, he had a slide on it. And yeah. and as you go through the whole thing, and like when you make that apparent to them, I had like a little bit of a flame war with one of the agents.
Yeah.
And he finally said, well, yeah, actually, he did disparage a lot of people. In
yeah, when you yeah, when I you mean, call somebody not safe.
Yeah, it's well, a disparaging
word. I got into it with a few of the Keller Williams agents online, and I said, well, where is Rob wrong? Like, what did he miss in this?
No,
and they're like, well, he wasn't there. He doesn't know. And I'm like, okay, so what did he get wrong? Like, explain to me.
No, I think in your second post, you really nailed it on the head where mm-hmm. he is paranoid. It's just, it's showing how paranoid and how
desperate
and afraid they are, mm-hmm. right? And again, you know, they're talking about this game has been played out, man.
Yeah.
You don't handle this situation by doubling down on
right.
the method that he's doing. You don't double down on that because that's been proven time and time to lose, right?
Right. So, I mean, for those who don't know, you know, and you're just listening to this podcast, you know, Gary Keller made a huge vision speech and a panel discussion with Josh Team, who is the CIO of Keller Williams, the new CIO. It just went on for a while, and he laid out a new vision for Keller Williams. And he, I think, has essentially said, I'm going to bet the company. And some of this is, I wrote a couple posts and, you know, the small subsegment of the industry that's online and talk about this kind of thing. We've been sort of batting this around the last couple of days. It's still going on right now as we're recording this. I mean, I think here's the thing, though. And this is sort of the substance of my second post. He's not wrong.
No,
Gary
no, no.
is not wrong. No. Like, and what's amazing to me is, and I do really mean this, at the least, at the very least, the guy is being courageous. And he's trying to do something because he's not the only one who sees the problem. Right.
Right.
All the other MLS, like everybody.
All traditional brokers see the problem.
Right.
I mean, they see their margins shrinking. I mean, when the average brokerage is like running 3% profit margin, that's not sustainable. That's ridiculous. And that's the average brokerage. So there are people above that and below that. And the ones that are below that, well, even the ones that are at that level are running their brokerage just basically as lead gen for their ancillary services. That's how they make their money. So they look at their brokerage as, you know, a cost of doing business more than a profit center. So when you look at that and you kind of look at all of the other pressures that are coming from in the industry, you have to be afraid and you have to think we've got to do something differently. But what Gary did was the wrong
thing. And that's your thing. He's identified the problem
correctly. He's identified the problem correctly. Okay.
Right.
I think he's misidentified the cause of the problem. And as a result, he's pursuing the wrong strategy. But what makes it particularly amazing is not just that he's pursuing the wrong strategy, but the way that he's pursuing it is exactly what you said. Shit on the vendors, shit on the competition. You know,
Shit on the industry.
Shit on the industry. I'm going to go it alone. You know, we're so rich. Keller Williams, you know, it's privately held. And boy, you know, we don't need outside investors. I turn VCs down, you know. rawr. And I'm like, dude, you know.
They're circling the wrong wagons. They're getting way too small instead of like circling wagons with people that they could actually probably make an impact with if they partnered. So they're like circling their wagons so tight that it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. To me, there's got to be, it's a rally the troops speech. So there is an element of theme, right? But, you know, the level of buzzwords.
This went beyond
He put a t-shirt on and a hoodie.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just like, it was like, this is beyond theater. I don't know what you would call this, but it's just like, just because you can spout off a lot of acronyms and wear a hoodie does not make you a CEO of a technology company, right? I mean, the amount of theater here, I appreciate what he's trying to do there, but it just, with the message, it just made things, the whole optics of the thing was just way out of whack, I think.
You know, and again, if it were just the optics and all of it'd be one thing.
Exactly.
And this is sort of my follow-on in the second post, right? Where I really did think about it. I watched the whole thing. And dude, I've watched some of those sections three or four times because I just had to make sure that, am I understanding this right? Am I understanding this right?
Right.
So let me try and describe what the essential issue is, okay? What he lays out is you have agent on one extreme, like individual agent, right? Just, I don't know, back in 1890, you know, back in 1930s, you know, you have a car, you know, you have a whatever, you know, like a notebook. You have an agent. And then you have technology-enabled agent, which is what we have today. You know, where technology, there's all sorts of wonderful technology out there, and they enable the agent to go and do what the agent does. And then the concern is we're now starting to see what he calls agent-enabled technology. You know, companies like Opendoor, companies like Knock. He calls Zillow and Redfin agent-enabled technology. I don't think that's true. Redfin might be. Zillow definitely is not. I don't think, at least at this point. But, you know, he sees that coming. And then the final step he's seeing coming is, screw the agent. There's no more agent. It's just tech, right? And I feel like we're kind of there with, like, the travel industry or, you know, or e-commerce, you know, or things like that. And he sees that continuum. And he's saying, we are slowly marching towards that.
And you're saying, that's all correct.
And I'm saying, that's exactly right. Correct. He's right. Yeah. Yeah. And he's saying, I need to draw a line in the sand between technology-enabled agent, which is wonderful, and agent-enabled technology, which is terrible. I'm like, okay, I'm with you, 100%. He's even correct in saying things like, you know, in this new battle, this fourth industrial revolution, data is the new oil. You know, and, you know, in
and
that
I've heard that before, yeah.
You know, whoever has the most insights wins. And if you want to have the most insights, you have to have the most data. So you have to control and own your data. And okay, you know, I'm not even saying you're wrong about that. I could quibble. But let's just say, like, you could be correct about that, which is why the strategy he then pursues beyond just the anger and the weirdness and the bizarreness to say, so as a result, hey, 175,000 Keller Williams agents, we need you to give us, Keller Williams, all your data so that we can aggregate it. Because he's right. He says, look, as an individual agent or as a single agent team or even as a brokerage office in Austin, you don't have enough data. You know, it's still too small. And if you're going to play in the big data plus AI analytics type of game, you need a lot more data. Since you trust us, right, because Keller Williams has spent 30 years, whatever, building up this trust, you know, and you think about how agent-centric they are. You know, and he actually goes through the history of the company. You know, we were agent-centric from the start. All these products are developed with agent councils, and we code to you, we get your feedback. Give it to us, and we will protect you, and we'll take care of it. The problem I have with that is, Andrew Flackner and I sort of disagree with this on this. I'm saying, so you have 175,000 agents and you have their data. That's not enough.
Not by
That's
long
not
shot.
Enough.
Oh, God, no.
And, you know, so I made the point, look, you know, it's sort of amusing sometimes when we get into these big data conversations in real estate. And frankly, it happens more in there, right? In the MLS, among the MLS world.
The industry is, there's dead bodies buried up everywhere where they're like, we're going to aggregate data and sell it to Wall Street. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, it was Rebig.
Right.
Yeah. RPR tried to do
right.
it. I guess in one sense, Real Scouts in
right.
a way
right.
that. The other company down in San Diego, they're doing some list track.
And Remind is not yeah. trying to do that. Yeah. And Revaluate is trying to do
it.
Like, but here's my point. I'm saying, look, that's not big data. At best, if we aggregated all of the housing information, all the listings in the United States, we might be at mid-sized data.
Yeah,
we
I doubt you're even there. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, because when you talk about big data, we're literally talking about shit like the GPS signals that our cell phone sends out every second of every day being captured by somebody, right? We're talking about crap like, and this was the example that I used, Walmart processes 2.5 petabytes every hour. What I've heard, and I don't know because I don't work at Walmart, What I've heard is a Walmart has video footage of every shopper in every store down every aisle with every action that they're taking. Like they will
put that in a Twitter feed. I mean, I love people at Walmart anyway. If they've got them all, that'd be fantastic.
Right? Right? I mean, but you know, their data analytics and whatever engine is watching somebody push a cart down an aisle, stop and look at a cereal box, reach for it and then decide against it, reach for a different cereal box, decide against it.
Oh,
and
wow.
Pick one box.
Right. And like see what the calorie count is, things like that, and put it back.
And somehow their machinery is able to analyze all that shit and go, okay, you know what we need to do? We need to move that box from over there to here.
They can track what level of boxes. I mean, that's why they have like sugary cereals at a certain eye level, because they know kids sitting in the cart are going to point to that because it's eye level.
And layered on top of it, of course, they get as much personal data on that shopper as possible because, you know, you have the discount cards or you've got some other stuff. And so you have all of their shopping history. I mean, that's big data.
And who knows? Maybe they're listening in on your phone too, like Alexa was listening.
Correct.
We had a conversation one night at the house talking about a product that we didn't have, I had never searched for before. It's like some little humidifier thing. The next day, it shows up on my Amazon suggested for you. I'm like, we're getting rid of all of the Alexas.
Oh,
wow.
Oh,
yeah. That's we did. Spooky. We unplugged them all. We're like, we're getting rid of all of them.
Yeah. But that's big data. Do you know what I mean? So the amount of data that 175,000 agents can generate, I mean, and then I thought, okay, even beyond that, because some of the examples that like Josh Team was coming up with was like, wouldn't it be great if you could go and tell your client, hey, listen, this is what's happening with housing stock and, you know, it's contracts that are submitted, you know, with this type of offer have a 40% better chance of being accepted. It's something like that. I'm like, okay, what contracts? Only Keller Williams contracts? Or does that include all of the transactions in your marketplace? Because Keller Williams doesn't have 100% market share in any market that I know
of. There's a lot of comments from other agents like, how does that even work?
Right.
Yeah.
Even before we even get to that, I'm saying if I'm Realogy and I just heard Josh say that, I'm like, how'd you get my transaction info? How'd you get that? Did the MLS give it to you?
Well, and also, how did you get contract information that wasn't even an accepted contract?
Right.
How did you get information just on a contract that was submitted but not accepted? Like, where is that coming from?
Right. So all those things together, I'm saying it doesn't make sense. Like, you can't pull comps based on just your company's transactions. You can't.
You can't.
So therefore, you can't do predictive analytics just using our company's experience unless you have 90% market share, which they don't. So from that standpoint, I'm going, the right strategy here, to me, says we need to do the big tent.
Yeah.
In other words, it's the exact opposite of what Gary Keller did. We need to do the, and I actually wrote this, but you know, my thought was, just imagine how different that entire vision speech goes. Gary Keller comes out, tech-enabled agent, agent-enabled tech. This is a real threat. We need to defend the value proposition of the individual agent. So in the past, I used to talk shit about Zillow. In the past, we used to be very combative. But I now realize this battle goes beyond us. This war implicates the entire real estate industry. So going forward, we are bearing all the hatchets. We're dropping all of our rhetoric. And we are embracing anybody and everybody who wants to defend the tech-enabled agent against agent-enabled tech. And let me introduce Spencer Raskoff. You know, Spencer walks out and says, you know, Zillow's happy to be a partner in this effort. We love the tech-enabled agent, blah, 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 blah. And then let me introduce somebody for Fidelity National, because he picked on him bad, right?
Right.
He picked on him bad with about Commissions Inc. and all this, you know, and have him roll out and say, we love the tech-enabled agent. And here's Ryan Schneider from Realogy, one of our main competitors. But we are of one mind that we need to protect.
Well, and even having Glenn Kelman, because honestly, I mean, they've got great tech, but they know that nothing can replace the face-to-face with an agent. They're smart enough.
Right.
They could figure out how to disintermediate the agent if they wanted to, but that's not what they're doing. They're trying to make their agents more efficient and more service-driven.
Right.
So.
And not only that, but I'm saying instead of putting up a big slide saying, if you give your data to Boomtown, you're not safe.
Yeah.
Why not have Greer Allen, the CEO of Boomtown, on stage say, we are 100% behind this effort, technology enabled it. It should have been a big, giant group hug, kumbaya moment, right, where Gary's saying KW will no longer, you know, compete like that. We're going to compete on service. We're going to compete on recruiting. Yeah, we're still competitors. But on this issue of defending the technology-enabled agent, we're all in the same boat. Yeah. That's...
And we're all better together.
And we're all better together.
Well, let's make it a competition, right? So
sure.
I'm going to reach out. I'm going to send the signal out right now. I want to work with the best of breed vendors. And here's my concerns of how I want to work with these vendors. I have these three concerns. I'm concerned about data. I'm concerned about this and concerned about that. If you're a vendor, the things you can meet me on this initiative, I want to hear from you.
Right.
Here's my freaking email address. Here's my phone number.
Right.
And let's talk.
Right. Not this with us or against us bullshit.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to... Go it alone is just the craziest thing in the world to me on this.
And that's...
Was that the go it alone? It's like, fuck you, and I'm going it alone.
Yeah.
Right?
Unless you agree to our data pledge.
Right, which...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of brokers who would have gladly taken that data pledge. I mean, they feel the exact same way Gary does. And that's the part that I don't understand. It's like, yeah, I know this is a KW rally. I know you want to rile up the troops. I know you're competing against those guys. But Jesus, like, did no one in that building say, hey, Gary, we totally see it, but here's the way we're going to need to do this. Like, we're going to have to drop the combative, you know, put them up, let's fight attitude. And, you know, we're going to go it alone and look how great we are. And we're Kel Williams. Like, we're going to need to drop that.
You know, you go back to, like, whether it's mid-sized data, small-sized data, big data, or whatever. I think what you're going to have to, he's also going to have to deal with is just the very fact of Asian adoption.
Of course.
I mean, so he's...
Of course.
You're saying if he got all 175 people on this platform to make something, there's no way. I mean, I was talking to a CEO of Contactually, and he quoted a study that adoption on brokerage-enabled software was like 6 or 8%.
We had Contactually, and I think we had...
And who's the we?
Coldwell Banker Bain. When I was with Coldwell Banker Bain, we had Contactually, and I think we had maybe 15% adoption, and that was unbelievable for them. But I had to answer my agents all the time saying, Sunny, why would we ever put our client information into this? You can see all of it. You're going to keep it. And I'm like, I'm actually not. I can see that you've logged in. I can
see there's examples of vendors that will have policies like, it's your data. When you leave, you can take your data with you, right?
Yeah.
So that can be solved, has been solved in a lot of places.
Right. I don't know.
Keller,
I mean,
Williams says, if you leave, you can take it with you, but they're not going to get rid of it. I can guarantee they're not going to get rid of it if an agent or a team leaves and they've put all of their client data in there. Sure, they might give it back to you, but they're not giving it up.
Right.
Right. And, you know, and the final thing that just like blew my mind, because we are here, and obviously, Greg, you and I work in the MLS space much more than any other. You know, Sonny works more in the broker space. Like, literally when he started talking about, I think I quoted him, and I had to go back and rewind a few times to make sure I heard it right. When he says, one of the biggest challenges you have as an agent is to survive NAR and your local boards who are selling you out. I'm like, dude, what? And then he follows that up with, well, you don't have to keep giving your data away. You can boycott the MLS and walk out.
Right.
And I'm going, did I hear that right? Like, what? What?
Right.
And that's when I just sort of...
Well, I think it was misreported somewhere that he had like kind of bashed on Upstream. He couldn't remember Upstream's name during the thing. So I think somebody had to like tell him out there. But he was basically I think the context of that was there's this initiative.
Right.
I can't remember the name.
Right.
It was Upstream.
But the MLS is going to kill it. But the boards are going to kill it.
All MLS and the boards are going to kill it. And, you know, maybe the strategy is boycotting and.
Maybe.
You know, that's nonsense. Right. That's nonsense. To me, hopefully, it was a lot of theater. Right. Hopefully, this is just rhetoric. This is just something that, you know, he's trying to rally the troops up and do things. But and it's more of that than it is really substance of he's really not going to in practice.
Is it, though? Because you know what, man?
How does he unravel himself out of that?
But that's my point. Like when you're the CEO and the CIO and you're on stage in front of however many people, like 30,000 people, 15,000. I mean, that's a big event.
Actually, he's not even the CEO anymore, is he?
Oh, that's right. But you know, you're Gary Keller.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He's the owner.
Yeah,
he's the owner. Your name is on the brand.
Yeah,
right?
But where's the CEO during all of this, too? That's a question.
That's an interesting question. But, you know, it's like when you are in stage in front of, call it 5,000, 10,000 people, and you're live streaming this to potentially 175, like all over the world.
Well, it's going
to
be recorded anyway, right?
It's going to be recorded anyway. And you go on and you make these statements and literally say things like, this is the future. Like, I'm betting the company. Like, he says, if this doesn't work, I'm going to sell the company. You know.
You'll have nothing to sell.
Right.
But whatever.
And, you know, and he says things like, I can't remember the exact quote, but you find it where he says, if you have outside investors, you know, then they might sell the data, they might share the data. And it's like, you know, 100% of the equity is in this chair.
Right.
And I'm not selling.
Right.
I'm not sharing.
Right.
I'm like, dude, I thought they were getting ready to go public, K-Dub. You know, I mean, they've been doing like these reports, like quarterly reports. Like, oh, they're getting ramped up, ready to go public. Now, who's going to touch them?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that in a larger narrative. Let me bring it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think what this has brought on was from this fear of Compass, I think EXP is also kind of cutting into their market share. That is, I think, driving the larger narrative of this fear that he's facing, right?
Right.
And that was also evident in the recent speech or a keynote from the new CEO of Remax.
Right.
Right? Where they had bought...
Booj. Yeah.
Right? And I wasn't there, but I heard from some people that were there, is that the way that they announced it on stage was like, we have bought the leading technology company in the space.
Right.
And we're so lucky to have the leading technology company.
Right.
And it's Booj. And like people in the audience were like, Booj? who's Booj? What's what? And it's like, it's almost like they did themselves a disservice by hyping this up so much. And then it's a great company. Booj is a great company, but it's not like known at an agent level at a Remax conference of, you know, all the kind of grandiose notions that they were given there. So I think that's kind of a big fear that was driving Gary's kind of situation and Remax's situation that I think is going to keep going on. This whole notion of tech-enabled brokerage is a thing,
right?
It needs to be there. Looks like we just special report here. We got a walk-in onto the podcast.
That's right. He didn't know what he was stumbling
into,
I think.
MLS mad scientist himself, Mr. Tim Dane. Hello, Tim.
Hey, how's it going? Let's call it Crash the Cast.
Crash the Cast,
Crash the Cast, yeah, exactly. You can't do a podcast in the lobby of a conference and not expect somebody to just invite themselves to the party.
No, we were hoping that somebody would drop by. It's like a Venus flytrap. It's like, who's our first victim?
So I'm the sucker? Is that what we're saying?
You might be. Because we might have to put you on the spot a little bit here.
Fair enough. I just wanted to listen, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys obviously know
first
a lot
of all,
about what's going on.
For anybody that doesn't know you, Tim, your current position is...
President of MERIS, the MetAmerica Regional Information Systems.
Which is the MLS and Association
for... The MLS in St. Louis.
In St. Louis, Missouri.
Yep.
Okay. So you are an actual MLS CEO. Actual MLS executive.
Yes, okay. Sir.
So when Gary Keller accuses the MLS and the local board of selling out the member data, what are your thoughts on that? Why are you guys selling out the member data, Tim?
Yeah, what's
up
with that?
Well, I guess first we don't, right? I mean, there's a lot of legal contractual restrictions on that, so I wouldn't say that any MLS that I know of goes and sells the data. I want to take him
Hold on. So I think people don't understand this.
Okay.
What actually has to happen for an MLS, either MLS-wide or broker-wide, for you guys to send listing information to Zillow? Right? It just doesn't...
So, yeah, first...
I mean, I think people need to understand, it's just not like the MLS just starts sending it,
you know, I think first you start from the... Like anything else, you build a relationship. You talk to Zillow in this instance, see what they want, line up with how that meets your standards for how you've been instructed to deal with MLS data. Then you go through a long contractual process of negotiating the terms of those agreements.
But if one of your brokers in your MLS doesn't want to send listings to Zillow...
Then they don't.
It's their choice.
It's plain and simple.
Right. People just think that MLSs themselves are just cutting these unilateral deals where no matter what, it just goes up to Zillow. The broker in every situation, from what I understand, with every MLS in the country, has the ability to say, no, I don't want my listing information to go to Zillow.
Yeah, they do. But do they really at the end of the day? I mean, there's consumers that are driving them to make those choices.
You're selling them out.
Yeah.
You just cut deals with Zillow and it's going there. Yeah. No, man. You can call the MLS today and say, don't do that.
You know, I'll pick on us, though. There are instances where the MLS could be doing more. We could be passing that choice down to the actual listing level and say, if the broker opts into Zillow, let's give the individual agent and the consumer they're working with the ability to opt that one listing out if they so choose at a listing level. So there are other things we could do to help drive more choice down, but you're absolutely right. The broker has the ultimate choice.
I worked for a brokerage that didn't want to send listing data to Zillow. And so we didn't at our franchise level, but it went from the national brand level.
Yeah,
so it took like 3 or 4 days for it to be up on Zillow. Sellers were pissed when it would have that lag time, but it was something at our franchise level that leadership decided that they did not want to send listings to Zillow. So they didn't. And it didn't matter what the MLS wanted. it's what the brokerage wanted.
Well, and it's interesting, where I moved to St. Louis from was running the MLS in Austin, Texas, where I wasn't the CEO, but I was MLS director.
Right.
If you remember news, they cut Zillow off, 3 years ago?
Yeah,
right.
Zillow wasn't fed by the MLS at all.
Right.
They went back to feeding Zillow while I was there because we completed a study of the marketplace. 87% of the listings were going from brokers to Zillow Direct. All that had happened in that, when the MLS stopped facilitating that, was the brokers now had the burden of building the distribution technology. And some brokers can do that, but a lot of them were signing, you know, 1.5-page agreements that said, sure, here's our data, do anything we want with it, and you can keep it forever.
Right. So in that case, the MLS was serving, I mean, a greater good there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We were getting them better terms for the display of their listing. And, you know, we had a policy
I just get so upset when I hear this narrative of, like, the MLSs are just, you know,
Selling you out.
Every broker has control on this issue, but
here's the thing, okay? The broker doesn't actually have any control over that, right?
And you're saying the consumer has control,
and ultimately the listing agent, ultimately the consumer has control. In other words, because we've seen this happen, right? Like Edina at first, you know, way back, you know, said, well, yeah, we're not, don't send listings to Zillow. Their agents go, that's really nice, but I'm the one who has to sit in front of a couple thinking about listing their house and telling them, yeah, I'm not sending your listings to a marketing channel. I'm going to list with the other guy that's coming next.
Yeah,
I mean, so it's, to some extent, I understand why the brokers feel so powerless about it. But that's my point. My point is, so you're Gary Keller. You're listening to your agent. You're listening to brokers. And they're coming to you and they're saying, hey, Gary, as much as we want to protect this stuff and whatever, whatever, fact is, competitive pressure-wise, we don't have a choice, right? Okay, at a minimum, that's when you do the big hug, right? You know, kumbaya. Hey, Tim, you know, I know we had problems in the past. We're going to bury the hatchet, smoke the peace pipe. And now I want you to help us figure out how do we keep the tech-enabled agent alive, right? Against agent-enabled tech. That's the approach. And that to me says confidence. That to me says leadership. That to me says, you know what? We have some problems, but we're a big company, part of a big industry. And with all of our friends and partners, we'll figure this out. I haven't written this yet, but you know, one of the things I like to do, because I'm a super nerd, is I like to read financial reports of Realogy and Redfin and some of these public companies that have to report. Ryan Schneider, the new CEO of Realogy, takes that exact tack. In his very first earnings call with Wall Street, he comes out and says, technology is super important and we're going to do some development. And we're gonna, you know, and then, but he says, but we need to be an open platform, where it's just super easy to plug into so that our agents could use whatever technology
and Remax helps them. Took that approach also. They said, we're buying Booj, but we still have valuable partnerships with other with other technology vendors. Right.
You know, and we're all going to work together on this problem, because the problem is not data. You know what I mean? The cause of the problem that we're facing with the tech-enabled agent versus agent-enabled tech and all this stuff is not data and who controls it. And that's not the problem. And I feel like that's the missing piece. So, you know, we started talking about the whole KWGK thing. I mean, my takeaway, and I put this on the end of my second post, is to me, this is a tipping point. Because what it says is the agent-centric brokerage is dead. The agent-centric commission-based brokerage is dead. And the industry is trying to look for what comes next. It could be tech-enabled agents. It could be agent-enabled tech. It could be whatever. We don't know what that is. But one thing that's like really clear to me now is if Gary Keller and Keller Williams, the number one largest, you know, brand in the world, with the amount of power that they have, with the culture that they have, right? I mean, this is not a culture that's dysfunctional where everybody hates each other, right? This is a great culture, great company with great agents. If they're that scared to do this, nobody can. That's,
you know,
dead.
But it seems like you do this a lot, and I appreciate it because I appreciate the perspective.
But
you dive into the actual word instead of, you know, you could have very easily said, look, I can take the meaning out of this. You know, for me, when I read all that and hear what happened, the meaning I take out of it is Gary's saying, look, we're going to be a tech-centric brokerage now. And maybe that's the buzzword of tomorrow or whatever, you know, not agent tech or tech agent or whatever. But I don't know that he meant what you prescribe to him is a meaning. I don't know that he meant, you know, well, screw every vendor I have.
We're talking about that, whether this was theater.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I mean, look at the amount of money that they just did at Clarity of pouring into the real estate industry. Look at the trends report. There's these tech companies, these tech brokerages that are getting just crap loads of money thrown into them. And Gary sees
driving.
That.
It's just they're very fearful of all the capital being put in those kind of companies. They're very fearful of it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the only thing I can say to that, Tim, is let's hope that's the case. Because, you know, you're right. I tend to take people at their word.
Well, you tend to take their words quite literally instead of trying to, and you do a great job of it, and that's not wrong. I just think that sometimes people say things in theater, as you point out, that you gotta sometimes extrapolate what they're meaning to say.
Including Rob. Rob sometimes says things in theater.
This is true. Yeah. I can be a little bit theatrical.
I live with him.
Right. Yeah, maybe. You know, so I suppose that's a possibility. That he just ramped up the rhetoric and said a bunch of things they didn't truly mean. That is possible, I suppose.
And I wouldn't prescribe a lie to that. I think what you have to take away from that, what I take away from it anyway, is the theme of it. We're going to be a tech-enabled brokerage. That's where we're pouring our money at. That's where we're pouring our investment at. At the end of the day, they're going to realize they still need some partners and some people who, you know what, we're not going to build that because Greg Robertson's done a great job of building it already and we value his partnership. And maybe they strengthen those partnerships
right.
in the end.
And if that's the case, they better be banging those phones like an expired
right.
listing because
right.
they need to be calling the vendors, the MLSs, the association saying, hey, by the way, guys, we're sorry. We didn't mean it. Gary was just trying to rah-rah the crowd.
Right.
But if that's the case, if it was just theater, they better have asses in seats making phone calls right now to people.
Yeah.
And I don't think those phone calls are happening.
But you know what, though? I guess, you know, maybe. But words do have meaning. Like if I were to say to Sunny, hey, babe, I think I'm going to cheat on you because these other women are just super attractive to me. And I said, no, that's not really what I meant. I meant I want a marriage to have the type of open. Like, dude, you can't say that. You can't say.
No, you cannot.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like words have meaning. You can't go to your 175,000 people and go, if you use Boomtown, you are not safe. And they go, well, I don't really mean that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you
have to take some responsibility.
Don't take me wrong. Yeah. I think he means it in certain instances. I just don't think that he means, like somebody out here said, I want to go make a shirt with Gary Keller's face on it and say,
right.
underneath it, I want to write screw all vendors. I don't think that was his message. I think his message was, you know what? We're going to start getting really selective. There was a clear warning to some vendors.
Yeah.
I don't want to discount that. I just don't prescribe to it everything that you did where I'm going to walk away from all of them. They're all dead to me. We're going to build everything on our own. I do think there's a gray area there that some of it was a bit theatrical and maybe overblown.
Tim is much nicer. Much more diplomatic.
The thing that makes Keller Williams great is they've been successful in doing what is so hard to do. It's been a theme on our podcast for a lot, and that's develop a culture. Those guys have developed a winning culture
Fantastic.
There with a partnership with their agents and Keller Williams to make this, we're just a training company that happens to be a real estate company. That culture they've created is unlike anything else you can see out there in all the different real estate brands, and they've done such a great job of that. That's the hardest thing to do, and to see them risk that on this kind of go-it-alone thing is just, to me, it's a shame.
You know, and at the last episode that we did, remember you talk about like how I have this boogeyman, this convenient boogeyman of the government. In this case,
are you really just going to say the government is going to?
No, it's not that. Oh, okay. The timing of this could not have been worse. The timing of it. Like at the precise moment where the government is going to look into how real estate industry restricts data to stifle competition, the guy that was just named the most powerful man in real estate by Stefan Swanepoel goes on stage and tells his 175,000 people, we're not sharing our data. That's, dude, like if you think that thing is not going to come up during whatever workshop hearing DOJ and FTC is going to do, I got news for you. It's going to come up. It's going to come up. And I'm like, that's really unfortunate if, like Tim said, that's not really what he meant. You know, if really what he meant was to say, we're a tech-enabled brokerage. So we'll see what happens. And like I said, look, there are certain people I don't like betting against. Gary Keller would be at the top of my list. Don't bet against Gary.
Absolutely.
You know, the guy has proven time and again that he's going to be successful. He's going to make it work. He's got gumption. All of that is true. So maybe I'll be proven a fool. I fully grant that that's possible.
Well, I would say the odds are pretty good that us sitting in the backseat of the car looking at Gary Keller and prescribing to everybody what we think he meant, what he might have meant, was he literal, was he not? We're all kind of Monday morning quarterbacks until Gary proves us all wrong.
Sure.
So, you know.
Sure. We'll see. You know, so, I mean, he has a track record of greatness. I'm not going to take that away from him. But, You know, it is what it was.
Well, I think this is great. Thank you, Sonny. Thank you, Tim, for joining us.
I enjoyed crashing.
I'm Greg and Rob.
And?
Sonny.
And?
Tim.
All right. And thank you for listening once again. I hope you've enjoyed it.
All right, guys. So don't forget to go to iTunes and give us a big 5-star rating. Somebody told me that helps. Please go do that. And thanks again.
And tell your friends about us.
Tell your friends about us. And thanks again for listening to another episode of Industry Relations.
Yeah.